Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. How y'all doing? Hopefully everybody is doing pretty good. All right. I got a call-in number for y'all tonight. Well, today is not, forgot it's not even dark out there. I'm going to post the call-in number into the chat. I'm posting the call-in number into the chat right now, y'all. Sorry if y'all can't really, I might turn it around another way. Because it looks like the light is making, messing everything up. Give me one second, y'all. Let me turn this camera a little. Hopefully that'll be better. All right. Hopefully that's kind of better, you know, as far as on the light. All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, how good can y'all hear me? Give me a number. 1 to 10, how good can you hear me? I might turn off this light. Let me see if I can turn off this light at BetterHelp, because it's, something's wrong with the light. Give me 1 second. Whoop, that ain't going to help. I don't think that's going to help. That ain't too bad. What y'all think about that? That's all right, I'm gonna turn the light back on, y'all. I'm sorry. I'm just gonna have to deal with it just like this, I guess. Sorry about that, y'all. Sorry. All right, anyway, if the light ain't good, I ain't gonna worry about it. I just have to wait until I can get my get another computer. So I can use this $800 camera that I bought that I just can't use because it's too strong. But anyway, so today we're going to talk about 42 Section 1983 lawsuits and criminal cases. We pretty much can talk about any civil case. If I've ever done a type of civil case that you want to know about, just ask. I'll let you know. But if I haven't, I'll let you know. All of that stuff is pretty much the same, y'all. Just to let y'all know, phone always ringing. Sorry about that. So, go ahead, y'all. There's a call-in number. It's 563-999-3602. You can call in and press 1, and then we can talk. I'll be on for 2 hours today, y'all. How are y'all liking that? Those two videos I posted today about the buns. The sheriff's buns and the judge's buns. How y'all like them videos? I just wanted y'all to know that y'all not crazy. You're not crazy. Not crazy. I have some oath of offices too. I'm gonna do an oath of office video, and I'm gonna show y'all that their oath of office. When you look on their oath of office, it doesn't say Judge John Doe. It has their actual name on there because that's their private capacity. It don't say Judge so-and-so or whoever. It don't say that. That's public capacity. So when you ask these people their name, just like when you go to court and they call you up and they say, are you so-and-so? That's what they're doing. When you say you're so-and-so, you're admitting to liability. Of those so-called charges. In other words, they're not asking you if you're actually you. They're asking you is if this legal entity is you. That's what they're asking. That's fiction on that piece of paper that's in all capital letters that has a social security number attached to it. That's what they're talking about. I just got on, Jerome, so you ain't really missing nothing, man. I've been on probably maybe about 10 minutes. You want to call into the show, Jerome? There's a call-in number. You can call in, man, if you ain't at work. You can call in. We can chop it up, man. Okay, I got you. I got you. Have a safe trip, man. If y'all haven't already, go ahead and pound that that like button. If you don't mind, you know, go ahead and share the video, you know, with some people so they can see it. Most people who email me, they really want to know about 42 Section 1983 lawsuits. If you don't know me and this is your first time watching, you know, one of my videos or whatever, yeah, I have successfully litigated a federal lawsuit against police officers in federal court. I settled the case. I was litigating the case by myself. I didn't have an attorney, and I was working my job, too. I was just tired. So I just decided to settle the case because I was mentally exhausted. I'm not even going to lie. But when I got ready to settle the case, I told their attorney, I said, his name was David Walker. I said, Mr. Walker, you are a worthy adversary. He extended his hand to me, and he said, you are too. We shook hands, and that was it. And they gave me my negotiable instrument, which was a check, and that was it. After I signed the paper, you know, the settlement agreement, so on and so forth, that was pretty much it. But all of that stuff is easy, y'all. Almost all of that stuff is easy. It works the same way on the criminal side, just the way it works on the civil side. Same way. I think there seems to be some type of lag. Let me see what that lag is. Give me one second, y'all. I'm not sure what that lag is, but anyway. Okay, Jerome, that's cool. I'm going to be live for 2 hours. I might try to go a little longer because I pretty much, you know, I got kind of a free day today. So, well, in other words, a day where I'm just not busy. I am litigating a federal lawsuit for somebody. But I'm waiting on him to send me some more information over. Trucks, 2Gs, peace, God, what's good? I want to thank Yusuf, if you ever watch any of my videos, thank you, man. You have helped me. You know, with you know, some of my learning process. I still want to learn the secure party process. I don't think it's hard at all, but I really need time to study. But I also want to thank you, if you're watching this video, for letting me promote my channel on your channel for free, by the way. So whenever I get some time, well, not time, whenever I got to make me a little bit more money, I'm going to send you a cash out, man. There's a random cash app just to show you that I appreciate it. What is all this? Look, y'all, I got screwdrivers on my desk, chapstick. My desk is just terrible, y'all. I got everything on my office desk. Ugh, I wear a lot of hats. Let's see. So far, I have a few people on the line, but nobody with their hand raised. They just want to hear me talk. Y'all can call into the show, 563-999-3602. Press 1, and then, man, you can talk. So, like, how many of y'all watched those videos that I posted today about the buns? How many of y'all watched those videos? All right, appreciate it. So, y'all go and call in. How many of y'all watched those videos about those buns? I wanted to show you, I wanted y'all to see that shit, man. The blanket bun that I have for the state, it doesn't look like the bun in those videos. It looks different. Like they for some reason they seem to have their insurance, like it's out of state. Like I know the blanket bun that I had, I think last year, I think the state's blanket bun expired last year, but their bun was with, I think it was a company in Maryland, if I'm not mistaken. And that was the blanket bun is what I'm trying to say. And it was with, I think it was the state of Maryland. There was another one, when I sued those police officers, if you're in Alabama, the woman that I talked to at the, they call it the Alabama Municipal Insurance Corporation, the AMIC or something like that. The woman that I talked to who works there, she told me over the phone that that corporation insures about 98 to 99% of all of the cities in Alabama. They have insurance. They have insurance. And I'm not going to lie, y'all. Like, I heard people tell me this stuff before, that, yeah, these people have insurance, and yeah, they have bonds and all that stuff, but it's just, when you hear about it and when you see it, it's just a different experience. Y'all know what I mean? Does that make, like, for me, when I saw it, like, I was kind of shocked, but then I wasn't shocked because, like, you know, I've heard about it, you know, but then I actually see it, and I'm like, okay, so it's real, so I'm not crazy. These people have bonds. They're public servants. These are not judges. They're administrative agencies, and they're adjudicating public policy. That's what they're doing, not law, policy. That's what they're doing. When they haul you off into these agencies that look like courts, they're filing a lawsuit against you, against your person. That's what they're doing, because the state cannot prosecute you. That's a corporate entity. The state has dual capacities. It has a corporate capacity, and it has a sovereign capacity. And in my opinion, the word state means the people. The people constitute the state. There is no state without the people. That's why when I file paperwork, you know, sometimes when I have to go to court, I come in as the state. That's why I am the state. I am an extension of the state's sovereignty. The Constitution is a trust. I am the beneficiary of that trust. All of you are public servants. That's why all of you have bonds. That's why the Constitution applies to you, and that's why it doesn't apply to me. It doesn't say what I can and can't do. You just press 1, so when you call in, press 1. Okay, I got somebody with their hand raised. Let me go ahead and take this call. Good evening, caller. Yep. 8431. How you doing?
I'm blessed. How are you?
I'm good, man. I'm good. What's going on? What can I do for you, man?
So, basically, I just kind of I want to see what you would think about my situation. I basically been I've been pulled over by Highway Patrol 4 times, and I live in L.A. All 4 times, basically, like the first time was the worst, where they pulled me out of my car over a window tint, and then they took a large amount of money from me, and then an arm that was put away in the trunk. Basically, I didn't say anything. I didn't sign no papers or anything. They took my car. They tried to charge me with like 5 felonies. I didn't end up getting a lawyer or anything. It just really got me more into this. And then basically then all charges got dismissed. I got my money back. But then when I was continuing to get more information, they kept harassing me to the point where like the last one was a couple of days ago. And now because when they pulled me over, basically I don't give them anything. I don't give them nothing. They try to keep like threatening me, and they basically treat me like a criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they do the most, but at the end of the day, nothing happens. Like, I have nothing on my record. So it's to the point where like it's trauma in my life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They
just harassing you right now. They're trying to scare. I don't know what they keep harassing you for, but they harassing you for a reason. When they stop you, you don't have to get ahead of nothing.
What happened? Say it again.
I was saying, when they stop you for a traffic, you know, a traffic citation or whatever their reason is, you don't have to get these people nothing. But they will procreate charges against you, if you don't comply. Some of them will, some of them won't. You know, they do all types of shit. They stole your money, by the way. Even though they stole your money and gave it back, you still can file a lawsuit against them because that's private property. They stole your damn money.
Yeah,
they took it
without
a lawful purpose. That's unlawful. You can't do that.
I have a couple videos on my thing too, and then like, but basically, like, so the way I understand why they pull me over, because the way my car looks, it's set up basically, like it's set up like I did enough research into knowing how. Like basically what I do, I put them in a position like, look, man, you're trying to charge me for a vehicle code, and in order to do that, you need my information, and you're gonna have to commit basically a crime to get my information because my window's not rolled down anymore, because last time my window was rolled down, you guys yanked me out my car for no reason, and then all that. So I put them in a position, and then like they keep I guess you could say. Catching the bait, I guess you could say. You know what I mean? Because like because I don't have no problem with all the other departments around here. Like they kind of, I don't have no problem. I'm not out there committing any crimes. I'm not a criminal. You know what I mean? They use the thought of, because they deal with criminals every day, to say, well, how do we know you're not a criminal if you don't give us your ID? You know. And it's like, well, that's not that's, yeah, I don't
that's
know, you figure that out,
problem.
You know?
That's a personal problem. That's not your problem. That's a personal problem. They're trying to say basically they're trying to say by you exercising your right to not incriminate yourself that you have something to hide. Shit, like that's the type of shit they do, man. They do that same shit here, man. Like when they stop, let's say if you travel down the road and you don't have a license plate on your car and they ask you, you know, for your ID and all this shit, and they say, and you don't want to give it to them. Well, how do we know this car isn't stolen? It ain't none of your business. Is it reported stolen?
Yeah.
No. I know it's not because I'm the lawful owner of this automobile. Now get the fuck out my face.
And I do have like one of those private license plates on my car. I covered my VIN. My car is pretty like, it's the thing about my car is you don't need a license plate to identify it. You know that's just my car. It's like just the way it looks and everything, you know? It stands out compared to, but it's like an Audi S5 basically with a wrap, you know. But the thing is, they just keep it's to the point where like, because my the reason I do what I do is not for any harm. It's not because really it's not because I want to make money, to be honest. I don't want to play the game anymore. I just want to be left alone, you know. Like now it's to the point where you guys cost me a lot of money. Not only that, I can't even go see my parents when I want to because you guys keep harassing me every time I drive by that fucking city, you know? So, I'm trying to see, I talked to like one of the sergeants or whatever. And I explained that like I want to stay in honor. So like my perception is like, well, I'm going to send you a letter basically. And with what I think is a fair solution to settle, basically, if you don't want to give me a response, then okay, then it's not going to be fair anymore. I'm going to go after you, basically, with the like the way you said, probably with the litigation or whatever, make a claim against. Because now it's like it's the whole department almost. It's not just the one person. There's several different officers. I talked to sergeants. The sergeants kept trying to they tricked me to identify myself. Like I went there to get a FOIA request, and then like they called. So when I was getting my FOIA request, and this was me trying to get my money back and going over there trying to get my arm back and everything. And what they did was they said like they called my name. So they said, "Hey, are you Chris?" They said, "Are you Chris Castillo?" And me not really realizing what they're doing, I'm thinking that they're going to give me the paperwork. I say, "Yes, that's me." And then they're like, "Oh, well, you came over here in that car, but like you can't leave in it because you just confirmed that you're this guy and you don't have a license." I was like, "Nah." I was like, "That's you're definitely not doing that shit to me." And basically, like they brought the sergeants out and talked to us, and then they're just trying to they're just trying to just trick me into. They're basically threatening me that I can't leave the same way I came in. You know what I mean? And and I'm like, I'm traveling out here, and I put the video up there. I'm traveling out here. They're like, no, you're not driving. I was like, no, I'm traveling in my automobile back to my house. And I was like, are you telling me I can't do that? And they're like, and it's funny the way they rephrase it. They're like, no, what I'm saying is, you can't. Like, you see, what I'm saying is, you cannot drive in your automobile back home. I was like, so you're saying that I can't travel home the same way I came in? And then they're like, you can't drive home in your automobile. And I was like, it's funny because they do that ghost, the gaslighting thing where it's like, I'm not playing this word game with you. It's like, I'm not playing a word game. You're changing the fucking words. I'm asking you a direct question and you're changing the fucking words, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's to the point now where I'm trying to see if, like, basically, should I go straight to, like, file the claim or should I send a settlement? Or would you, like, should I just send, like, here, this is...
Who offered you a settlement?
No, I'm going to offer them, like, a chance to settle it before. Like I'm going to send them a letter with my, like, then no one offered anything. I'm just thinking, like, should I just go straight to just... Because my perception... My perception is I'm going to offer you a settlement. And if you don't take the settlement, the court, there's no settlement after that where I'm off with the heads kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's total domination after that. But I'm giving you the opportunity of being an honor to be like, look, this settlement's like really good. You know what I mean? Like I think it is beyond what I'm deserved after all this treatment, taking my car, taking all my money. So it was a large amount of money too. So it was cash, and it was up with of like $35,000.
How long ago was this?
This was a year. It was a year and a half ago.
Don't send them nothing because you're wasting time right now. Every state you have, generally speaking, you have about 2 to 3 years to sue them in federal court. So I wouldn't. Me personally. This is just me personally speaking. I wouldn't give them no types of notice to shit. I would just go ahead and litigate against them. This would be the perfect time because they think you forgot.
Yeah.
Or if they don't think you forgot, I know they didn't forgot about it now. Whoever that arresting officer was, I know they forgot what happened.
I mean, I know they didn't forget because all the whole department knows me, and then they just pulled me over a couple of days ago, and then they did the most. They did they gave me a ticket that it was like basic. Like I wasn't doing anything wrong. They saw me and they pulled me over, and then they pulled off the spike strips. My dad even pulled up and recorded them, and they were like they pulled a spike strip through in front of my car. They came to my approaching my car with the weapons out their holster. And I'm just like, what are you guys like? Why are you guys acting like I never posed a threat to you guys ever. You know what I mean? Like,
This is just my opinion only. Some of y'all may disagree, but I've come to the conclusion that there are two ways to make these people leave you alone. You either gonna have to put a gun in their face, or you gonna have to sue them. You gotta cost them money. And you can't put a gun in their face because it's going to be a problem then. They don't play fair, even though you have every right to self-defense against anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But they just not going to play fair. So you need to sue them. That's what you need to do. Don't sue the state. Sue them because they're not authorized to violate your rights. So when they do so, they do it because they say, fuck your rights. You don't have no rights. We're going to violate your rights because we want to. This is personal. You need to sue them. I guarantee you, if you cost them money, they're going to leave you alone. I've been stopped with 8 active capias warrants before by numerous different types of police officers. I've been stopped by sheriff, state trooper, 3 different types of municipal police, in which in one city I got stopped in. I had the actual capias warrants in that city, but when they ran the name, it was like they just got spooked and they just left me the fuck alone. They just left. It shocked the hell out of me because I thought I was going to jail. they will leave you alone.
What's the process of doing that, of the whole, like, because that's where I get stuck. It's like, all right, so do I just, do I, because I tried calling getting attorneys. I'll pay for it. I want to do it myself, but I'll pay for it. Like, mm-hmm. sometimes, and they won't. I can't even get to someone to talk to about that. So,
it's so easy, bro. It is. It's so easy. All you're doing is you're making factual allegations against these police officers. But you need to know what your rights are in order to know how to properly draft this complaint. What you need to do is basically you're just pleading facts that show a clearly established constitutionally protected right of which a reasonable officer would have known about has been violated. If you do that, they are not going to get immunity. They're not going to get immunity at all. At least they won't get it. They might get it after discovery, but I doubt that based on what you're telling me. They're not going to get immunity.
Yeah.
It don't sound good to me.
I have all the paperwork, and then I have videos of everything. Like, I record everything. So some of them I stopped posting them online because I felt like my reason for doing it was to teach people. But like, if I'm just showing them the video and they don't know how I'm doing what I'm doing, then I could really just be putting people in harm's way more than helping them out. You know,
I agree.
And I see a lot of these videos online, and I'm like, bro, I don't want to, like, that's not the goal. The goal for me is not to get viewers or not to get, like subscriptions, I guess you could say. You know what I mean? Like, the goal for
me. I know what you
mean.
You say you're in California, right?
Correct.
All right. I have, if you don't mind, when you get to the chat section in the live, if you don't mind, place your email address down now, because what I have, it's about 788 pages, and it's basically a corpus juris secundum type PDF file, and it's called the Fourth Amendment and Search and Seizure Update. It was drafted by an attorney in California. It's 788 pages, and it's just straight to the point on what they can and cannot do under the Fourth Amendment. I think that would help you. It will address all of the state courts in California. It has case law now for all of those states. I mean, for all of those courts, and the Ninth Circuit, which is the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. So basically, all federal appeals from every U.S. district court in California goes to the Ninth Circuit, which is the appellate court.
Okay.
It's a federal appellate court. And it has cases in there for that too. So you need to read this. This is, as a matter of fact, if anybody on here is listening to this, I would advise y'all to either come into your email address or email me or something like that, and I'll send y'all this document. I wish I could I knew how to attach it and place it in here. I don't think I can. Let me see if I can, because I think that's easier. If I was to just do it like that, I don't think it's going to let me do it, though. No, it ain't going to let me do it. But back to your lawsuit. I'm sorry to get off topic. Back to your lawsuit. It sounds like to me, yes, you have a valid cause of action against them, because anything they take from you without a lawful purpose, that is, in some cases, it's a felony. They can't take a pair of your glasses without your permission. You can sue for that shit. They can't take a fucking piece of hair off your body without your permission.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. That first time they took me, they took my car, and they destroyed it basically and took it for about 2 weeks under evidence, you know, and then they took all my money. That was all my money. So like my life went upside down after that. And then I went to court. It took me a year and a half to get it back. I recently got it back in the beginning of the second month of this year.
You need to sue them.
They still have my pistol, which they already said that I could lawfully own it, but they want me to register and do all that stuff. But it's like, I don't even, my car's not even registered. So what the fuck am I going to register that?
What matters is that you are the lawful owner of it. That's all that matters. It doesn't matter if it's registered with the state or not. It's private damn property.
Yeah, and that's what I told him. I was like, look, you see that there's nothing on this vehicle that shows that you guys have any skin in this game, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then
I have an ebook. I'm sorry to cut you off. I have an ebook. It's $10, or you can watch some of my videos too, where I teach you, you know, how to suit it. Basically, I'm not sure if I don't really go into as much detail as I want because I don't want to make my videos too long and I don't want to confuse people. So I try to make them as short and I just try to get straight to the point. But I do have videos like how to sue the police, part 1, 2, 3, 4, and all that stuff. And I have a video that teaches you how to be qualified immunity. All that stuff is on YouTube.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. You know when you said like you have about 2 years. Is it 2 years from when it happened or 2 years from when they? Because if they kept my money all the way to like the beginning of this year, like is it 2 years still? Because they still technically had it stolen until the beginning of this year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the courts. I don't agree with them, but they say it's 2 years from the date that it happened.
Isn't that a statute because
Title 42 Section 1983 suits, they don't have a statute of limitations. So since they don't have a statute of limitations, the Supreme Court basically said that they borrowed the state's personal injury statute of limitations. So whatever your state personal injury statute of limitations is, that's the statute of limitations that they use on personal injury lawsuits because this is a personal injury lawsuit.
Yeah, and it's been going on like so recently. Recently was the most like it was kind of funny at the end like the way I looked at it because like I had a camera on my lap and he was like, "Ready? Touch that camera, you can get every gun." And I was like, "I don't get like at the point like to me it looked like put it this way at the end of the I was there for an hour and a half. They shut down the whole street. Well, for a traffic stop, they shut down the whole street, put the spikes up in front of my car. 14 cop cars came behind me. By the end, my dad's recording. He tells my dad, "Hey, can you move over there?" My dad's like, "No, I'm right here. I'm just fine." You know, and then he felt like, "Okay, well, I'm telling you to go over there because I don't want you to get hit by any bullets or anything." And my dad's like, "What the fuck? Like, my son's
yeah,
not. My son has
like, the shit is that to say? Like what these people?
Yeah, so, I played the Bad Boy song all loud because I already knew like I was like this like you guys need theme music because this is crazy, you know.
You're gonna have to sue him. I had a situation like that. It happened to me. I didn't know what to do at the time though. I think that was my first time ever going to jail. I was about 21 or 22 years old, and they snatched me out the car, fucking gun in. You know, gun drawing on me, slammed me to the ground with their knee to the back of my neck. And when I asked them, you know, what happened, what did I do? They said, "You don't have on a seatbelt." I said, "What the fuck? Are you serious?" And I didn't know what to do, so I could kind of just let that ride. But I told myself, it won't happen again. And it ain't happened.
I think that's where I'm at. I'm at that point where, like, because I gave them every opportunity to, like, to make it right, and now it's up to a point where like what I've learned in my life is that the only way I made change in my life was through pain and uncomfortable situations. So
mm-hmm.
I can't make it comfortable for them. I can't do what they would like me to do because
mm-hmm.
then they're not going to change. You know what I mean?
You gotta fight back, man. If you don't, they're just gonna keep on doing it, man. They're gonna keep on doing it if you don't fight back. You gotta fight this. Don't let them intimidate you. Don't let them scare you. They're gonna do all of that, man. I've been to court. They used to have special settings for me. So they call it a special setting where it's just me, a judge, a bailiff, and about 3 to 4 police officers in the whole entire courtroom. That's it. Because they didn't want nobody else to see. And what they did, they were testing me to see if I actually knew what I knew. If I knew what I was talking about. I've been held in consecutive court numerous times. I had a judge. He was in court. His name is Braxton Kittrell. He's a civil rights attorney. He's a personal injury lawyer. But he was a part-time like temporary type judge or something like that. So he's sitting on the bench, and he's an old white guy, and he wants me to approach. Like I said, no, sir, I'm good right here, Your Honor. He wanted me to approach the bench because he said he couldn't hear me or whatever. But anyway, long story short, I never approached the bench. He looked at the police officers behind me. They I think it was about two or three of them on the side of me. And he said, officers, will you take him to jail? And, of course, they took me to jail with a dumbass. Notice he didn't say, I order you to take him to jail. He said, asked them, will they take me to jail? He knew what the fuck he was doing. He then looked at me and said, I fined you in like three counts of contempt and sentenced you to blah, blah, blah. So it was supposed to be for like $300 and maybe 10 days or something like that. I got out of jail, about 48 hours later. So once I get out of jail, I'm like, what the hell, you know, cause I'm thinking that, you know, he was serious or whatever. He was bullshitting. He was bluffing. So he ordered me released on a writ of mittimus. He ordered me released from jail. I found that out once I went to the clerk's office and got a copy of what he had done or whatever. And I got a copy of the order of contempt where he was so-called sentenced me to jail. This motherfucker ain't never signed that piece of paper. He drew a fucking circle on a piece of paper. they know what they're doing, man. This is all smoke, man. Look, man. You don't be scared of these people, man. Don't be scared of them.
I'm definitely. It's funny because like I could see through it. I feel like once you they call them like the archetype in a spiritual sense. They call them like tricksters or the fool. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
Like a weasel. Only a weasel could defeat another weasel. And once you kind of get out of once you come from darkness and you start doing it for the light. You could see things, you could see what they're going to do before they're going to do it because you've been there, you know what I mean? You came out of that area. And, like, my thing is, because even there's last time, it was funny what they were trying to do. It was like, damn, if you, like, this what made me really, like, I started telling people on my page, just like, look, I know, like, you guys see me do this, but I want you guys to understand, like, how dangerous it could be, because at the end of the day, if you don't know what the fuck you're doing, like what they were trying to do, what he was trying to do was they were telling me to stick my fingers out my window because I only give them like an inch and a half, 2 inches, and and my windows are like mirror tint. It's like I stuck my fingers out the window, and then while the sergeant was coming to talk to me, and then the guy that pulled me over was smiling and kind of like acting like he was gonna open my door, like, you know what I mean, like trying to get me to flinch, because obviously if I flinch, what the fuck are they gonna do? You know what I mean, so it was almost like you guys want to shoot me, basically, you know, like
yeah,
you guys were finding any.
That's what it seemed like. It ain't nothing for them to turn off their body camera once they before they shoot you, turn off the body camera. Notice they had the whole street blocked off, so you know nobody could actually probably see what was going on.
I thank my dad and I thank myself for having to call him and tell him, hey, I'm down the street, because I was going to drop off my car to him, and I was like, can you come? And my dad knows me to the point where, like, because when he got there, they're like, can you talk to your son? And he's all like, he's a grown up, because I'm 36. He's like, I can talk to him. Yeah, he's my son. He's like, do you have a good relationship with him? He's like, I have a great relationship with him. And then, so they were trying to get him to talk to me, to talk sense into me, but they didn't realize my dad knows what I stand for and what I am. And he might not do it himself. He might not 100% understand it, but he respects it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And he sees he sees the proof in the pudding. So at the end of the day, he really saw it. What they did was let my dad really understand, like, damn, like my son just, like nothing, like he was, like there's just proof in the pudding right there, like, you know what I mean, like at the end of the day, they tried to get me to sign the paperwork. I was like, well, can you take this ticket? I was like, no, give it to my dad. And they're like, well, I can't give it to your dad because that's not you. And I was like, well, that's not me either, so why are you giving it to me, you know? Like, and then so when I said that, he just threw the ticket down my window, and then they just all, he's like, just do me a favor, he's like, don't drive off until we drive off, because we're going to pull you over. And I was like, and then what, do this again? Like the same, do nothing, you know, like don't do the whole show. Like, because you guys really didn't do nothing. You guys wasted an hour, like 2 hours of my time, basically, and 2 hours of, the bigger thing to me is, like, you wasted 2 hours of your time because you guys are a business. And at the end of the day, the way I look at it is you guys took the bigger loss than I did, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's 14 cops that are not pulling anybody over for fucking 2 hours.
Okay, let's start back talking about the lawsuit. This is what you need to do, man. You need to find out which U.S. District Court in California that has venue over this case. I'm not sure how many U.S. District Courts are in California, but you need to find out which one. As far as drafting the complaint, that's pretty much easy. The only thing that the most important part of your complaint or the ultimate facts section of your complaint, that is going to determine if you're going to win or lose your case. Everything else is pretty much just copy and paste. As far as the jurisdiction and venue and the parties, all of that stuff is easy. On a scale of 1 to 10, how good can you comprehend legalese?
I'm really good. I'll say like on a – like if you're talking about 10, like memorizing, no, but 10 to double-check everything and then to make sure that I know, like, I'm pretty well aware of legalese.
Okay, good.
And,
You're gonna need that. I would suggest.
Yeah.
I'm gonna post one of my videos, and you should see the rest of them in here. I'm gonna copy and paste the link to one of my videos in here. How to speak to police.
I'll share you one of my videos. One of my videos that I got when I got pulled over by Santa Monica, and you could kind of see. I over articulated that. Now I don't really talk as much as I did back then, or at the time I got arrested, or not arrested, but pulled over and they let me go. But you could see how I how much I really, my intellect level, I guess you could say, of legalese and the that, you know what I mean?
I don't even argue with the police on what the law is anymore. I just don't say. I just play dumb. That's what I do. I'm looking at your name, and I'm trying to memorize everything that happened. And what's, like, the night the police officers did what they did to me, man, I bullshit you not. I was drafting that civil rights complaint in my head on the side of the road. That's what I was doing, and looking at their name. That's what
That's the only thing I'm missing is how to do that. Because once I do that, like, there's other things that happen where, like, because when you don't give them no ID, they love to fucking, like, to take you into, like, to do the most just to get that. Like I had for flying a drone, I had the state troopers take me for, like, into custody, basically into the sheriff's office, just for not IDing and flying a drone where I was allowed to fly a drone. And so, like that's what like to me is like to me people think, because it's just crazy how people think, is that like, well, why don't you just listen to them? It's like, because why would I do that? Like, why would I give them all that personal
information?
You don't
have to. If I don't have to, then I'm not gonna do it. But don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I understand what, you know, some of those people be saying, because, like, bro, I don't want to go no fucking jail. Who the fuck want to go to jail? Like, come on, man. I don't want to go no jail, but I'm not going to just let you think you can do whatever you can, do whatever you want to do to me. I'm not going to do that. You got the wrong one.
And that's exactly what I tell people. It's like, I don't want to do this as much as, like, but I feel like it's my duty, because at the same time, like, what's more important than me spending time in jail or being free is keeping my moral integrity and my
core.
It
is your duty, man. It's everybody's duty, because if you don't, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse and worse, and then nobody is doing anything about it. You have to.
That's how we got where we are right now.
Yeah, you have to do this, because these people are not going to stop, man. They're not going to stop this shit, man. They are not going to stop.
Yeah.
You got to figure out how to cost these people money, or you got to do it the other way. That's the only thing that they respect. If you're doing anything other than that, you're wasting your time. I hate to say it. I hate to be so negative or whatever, but they just don't play fair. they don't play fair at all.
Yeah,
I posted,
the whole thing kind of.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
The whole thing kind of it's like a whole like once you kind of do it, like once you get deep into like understanding what's going on and even like the money in, and it's like there's not even real money, but it's like yeah we're gonna get money, but it's like are we just feeding into taking out of one system, putting it into another system, and playing that system, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so I know
like,
what you mean.
Like, you got to find a place where you'll find peace, basically, because if you keep going down, you'll see that, like, you're just jumping into different games, basically, of the monopoly or the whole system. And it isn't until, I believe, it isn't until we, like, so it has not, to me, when it comes down to it, it's really not paperwork. It's more just you knowing who you are.
Mm-hmm.
On an intuition level of what like who your creator is, and the reason they try to control you because they can't control you because they didn't create you, but they created that entity. And a lot of you believe you're that entity, then they can control you.
Now you're right. Damn sure right.
So, but I mean, it's hard breaking that curse. We've been taught that for generations and generations. It's like. Like even to be the person in the family to do that, like, cause you look you probably have the same situation. Most people have the same situation like this. Like, you're looked to as a black sheep and have to go through not only that with the legal system and these costs, but even the separation of family of what they believe and the way you're living. Like having to be the outsider, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I know what you mean.
So I could
wrap this all up, huh?
Yeah. All right, then. But yeah, but I'm gonna send you my email, and I wasn't even expecting to do this, but something told me to do it.
Yeah, you can. Wait, I'm gonna tell you right now. You got the right one on the phone, talking to the right one. When it comes to suing these people, let me post my I'm gonna see if I can post my my case number into the chat, and you can go and look my case up if you want. I should have a video on here. I think I do. I'm gonna see if I can find that video and post it in there. I also posted a link to my ebook. The book is $10, y'all. I made that book $10 on purpose. It's 27 pages and it's straight to the point. Straight to the point. So I think that book will help you. And if you need more help, you know, if my ebook is not doing what you want it to do, or if the videos are not helping, just let me know and just, you know, shoot me an email or something like that, and I'll try to do another live Q&A and we can do it like that.
I just posted my email.
Okay, let me see. I don't see it.
In the comments?
I don't see it. It's probably going to pop up later because I don't see it right now. But, all right, let me go ahead. I got to go to the next caller.
All right, then.
All right, good luck, man.
Yeah.
No problem.
All right, bless you.
What was that? Okay. All right. Sorry about that, y'all. Looks like Ace, how long did it take you for settlement? Ace, I think I litigated my case. Well, I filed the lawsuit, I think, in early January of 2021. And I settled it last year in June, Ace. So a little over a year. I think it was about 18 months, maybe. Somewhere around about that time. Didn't take too long. Y'all can call into the show, 563-999-3602. Press 1, and then we can go ahead and talk. Let me see. What was it? Where is... So, listen, y'all, listen. Suing the police in federal court, that is the easiest damn thing you can do. It is just that easy, y'all. It's just that easy. All you need to know, you just need to know what your rights are. If you know what your rights are, then you know the facts that you need to allege in your complaint to prove a particular cause of action against that police officer. I promise y'all, it is that easy. Very easy. For those of y'all who knew and don't know me, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to post a link to the video. It's proof that I settled my lawsuit. It has the cause number on it. There's the court order in it, so on and so forth. Where is it? Here it is right here. I'm about to post this video into the chat section right now for y'all. There's a link I just posted proving to you that I settled my lawsuit. It's a video on my channel. All of this stuff works the same way, y'all. All of it. You can draft a motion. If you don't know how to draft a motion, watch that video. I posted a video how to draft a motion. Probably about 10 minutes long. I didn't want to make it too long and too complex. And I try to make my videos as short as possible because I don't want to confuse nobody. But all of this stuff is easy. It's easy, y'all. And you can do this. So don't come on this channel saying you can't do this because yes, the fuck you can. You can do this. I did it. I didn't know what the hell I was doing when I first started learning and reading cases. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. These words were confusing me, a person, natural person, jurisdiction, thereof, all these legal heretofore, all this bullshit, all that shit used to confuse me. But I just kept reading cases and kept reading cases. And every time I read a case and I didn't know what a word meant, I looked it up in the law dictionary. That's what I did. That's what you're going to have to do. Caller 6516, you're on the line. How you doing?
What up, Luke?
What's good, girl?
It's Jerome.
Oh, what's good, man?
What's going on?
Man,
I have lots of battles. I ain't won the war yet.
Man, look.
Keep
fighting, man. Don't give up, man. Keep fighting.
Oh, no, I ain't giving up. It's just when you knowing your enemy is optimal when you I guess put on the boxing gloves per se.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's one of the key things everyone got to keep their head straight on is that understand your enemy is that low. They can be that low. and to expect and plan that type of, I hate to say it, fuckery.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
With man. All due respect.
Man.
You will have to question everything within your spirituality. Like, are these people for real? Yes, they are.
Yeah, they for real. And the whole thing about it is all of this shit is bullshit.
Okay, so to explain my I got some leeway in my case, okay? So my child support case has been giving me Mike Tyson hooks throughout my past 5 years of my life with my driver's license suspension, with getting arrested for drivers without a license, to mm-hmm. getting put in court for contempt of court for not paying an agreement I never signed and agreed to. All right, the appeals court, the state appeal court, I finally got into the correct court, not federal court. You got to mm-hmm. exhaust all your state remedies. So mm-hmm. I was supposed to go to the appeal court. When I went there, one of my main things I was fighting was paying a $250 fee. I had, because I'm broke, and it's like, well, you guys already consider me a criminal by arresting me for this contempt of court. You didn't give me no attorney. You didn't give me no Sixth Amendment right. You didn't give me no due process. So I considered this criminal, and I argued the whole thing all the way around. And basically what the court said is, we heard you. We got your motion. We got your facts. The fee will be $250. And I'm like, God dang, like, not even, hey, do y'all got, like, a discount? Like, nothing. So cuz went ahead and paid the fee very reluctantly, right? Because, yeah, you know, I'm about to have father-daughter dance night, and, you know, so I'm like, man, all right, this better work, because everything falls on this one case. It's unlawful child support orders fucking my whole life up. So, all right, I got to invest in this. So I paid a fee. And, bruh, this was on a Monday, bruh. I paid the fee on Monday. By Friday, in the mail, I got the attorney's packet with all these arguments. Man, she sent me a tree worth of, like, God damn, this thing is heavy. It costs like $10 to mail this bitch to me. So I get this packet, bruh, and this attorney making all these little arguments, motion to dismiss, blah, blah, blah. Already, dog, I just paid this money, so I'm extra mad. Like, first off, Trinzy versus Pagliaro, shut the hell up. Off jump, first off, I object. You're not allowed to speak. You are again in real time violating my rights. I haven't even got a brief in, so therefore you can't motion to dismiss because there's no affidavits on the record. So I hit all that. I had all her up real quick, right?
Yeah.
Next week, I get another big old packet. Like, she just got extra mad that I had said something. I was like, oh, I can't believe she did this. But in this packet, she sent a whole bunch of copies, like discovery. And that the reason why she did this is because I made a Brady violation claim in my first objection. So I guess she felt, hey, we got to put all the information on them. So this, you know how you say they stupid?
Yeah, I think Brady is only relating to criminal action. I'm not sure. I don't think it's a civil action.
Exactly. But I said it anyway. And I'm learning about it too, but I think it do apply to civil quasi administrative. It has to do with discovery.
Yeah, they have to, any type of evidence, it doesn't matter if it's civil or criminal, they intend to use the evidence against you. They have to turn over the evidence to you.
Exactly. So
yeah, they have to do that.
It's been 5 years since I haven't appealed this correctly, so that's one of her main arguments. I only got 30 days to appeal and pass the deadline, blah, blah, blah. But I'm stating I just got the order in the I had to go get the order from the lower court on the in December. I said, I just got the original order. I'm supposed to have this original order 5 years ago, but they never mailed it out because at the time I didn't have an address on record.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm proving that I just got the order and I'm appealing within the 30 days of getting the order.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the second package she sent had all the original paperwork and all this shit, right? So mind you, they defaulted me. They defaulted a father, not because I neglected my kids, not because I got arrested for neglecting my kids, that they had to get involved. They defaulted me for refusing to sign a voluntary agreement during a negotiation conference.
Yeah, they can't force you to sign no agreement.
Exactly. Now, the way the lower court sees this is that it is
a... Hold on, Jose. I'm going to tell you what you should do. Next time they do some shit like that, sign it under duress. Make sure go ahead.
This is the thing. Yeah, I understand that part now. But what I did not understand is how is the lower court have a default order by a judge? Because this whole time, a judge that I try to sue in federal court with all her judicial immunity and whatnot, she was the one that put this order in. But what I'm saying is, how can a judge put an order in if, in fact, we in a negotiation conference, which is not a judicial hearing, one, And two, the only way that she can have jurisdiction over me is if I sign this voluntarily. Now, once I saw the paperwork that she sent over, the attorney sent over, in this South Carolina law, it states in order to be found in default judgment, it has A through like F. A, if you fail to show up. Well, I showed up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a negotiation conference, and that's all I was required to show up for when I was served. So if I showed up, how am I defaulted? So they're in violation of their own order, correct?
I would need to read the statute that you that you're referencing. And go ahead.
Basically, the statute is contrary to the attorney's argument, to the fact that I was defaulted, because at this point, the state does not have an affidavit from my ex. They don't have an affidavit from the attorney. They don't have an affidavit from nobody. So that whatever facts they're operating on are void, one, and two, the only jurisdiction they would have is if I sign, which I didn't. And therefore, where does the default come from when in your own paperwork says that I showed up?
Yeah, let me, everybody listening to me right now, this is what y'all need to do. This includes you too, Jose. Anytime you're dealing with these people, you need to draft up like a notice of special appearance or some shit like that. And you need to make it known in that notice of special appearance: on such and such day, I will be appearing specially, not generally, under duress, in fear of I might lose my rights to such and such and such and such if I don't show up, or if I don't sign this willingly or something like. You need to make sure you got some type of paperwork that shows that. You need to get
that. A preemptive security.
I wouldn't call it that, but it's necessary, because they get on my fucking nerves, man, because they don't give a fuck.
They violate their own code. They violate their own rules. They violate everything, and they do it regardless.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Now that I'm at the Court of Appeals, now they bitching and crying about, oh, he had this much time, he had this, we did that. And it's like, hold up. You didn't even follow your own rules, first off.
I ain't gonna be the default judge. Like, first off, going to court is voluntary. All of that shit is voluntary. How the fuck you gonna get a default judgment against us?
Well, look at it like this. When you, this is how I always talk to everybody now. What do the court rules say? There's only two sets of court rules. There's civil and there's criminal.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a default judgment only applies to civil. So under Rule 55, you will have to have what? An affidavit or some type of moving motion from a movant, correct?
Do you know that statute? I'm gonna look the statute up. Do you know the statute that they move?
I think it's Rule 55 in Civil Rules and Procedure. Rule 55, and what it says is the opposition.
You in state court?
Well, yeah, it's in state court, but civil rules and criminal rules all stay the same within their rules of the procedure.
Okay, so you're in a civil
rule.
Okay, and this is
civil
South
rule
Carolina.
55, South Carolina.
All right. Let me see. Rule 55A requires that the court enter all judgments by default and preserve. I think this is it. Let me go and read this. Setting aside default. Okay. Rule 55A entry. When a party against whom a judgment for affirmative relief is sought has failed to plead or otherwise defend as provided by these rules, and that fact is made to appear by affidavit or otherwise, the clerk shall enter his default upon the was it the Cabinet File book? So did anybody file an affidavit stating that you failed to plead or otherwise defend this action?
Nope. Nope.
That's a prerequisite. In my opinion, that's a prerequisite to getting a default judgment on the Rule 55 of the
And you have to put a motion in. You have to put a motion in.
Yeah, you damn sure. You have to do an affidavit and a motion.
Exactly. So my point is, how do you get to a default when we're only in a negotiation conference? Let me explain to you what a negotiation conference is. It's a big old room full of fathers and mothers, and they're all – there's a whole bunch of tables set up. There's no judge.
It's like a settlement.
There's no prosecutor.
It's like a settlement.
There's no – huh?
It's like a settlement. That's what it is. That's what it is.
And basically, what they're trying to do is get settlements prior to going through all the steps and the affidavits and motions. So if you have a father that says, I'm not signing that, and they go, well, you're not going to sign it. Well, we're going to put it in front of a judge. And then the judge, you go in front of a hearing for a judge, and the judge is like,
you gotta go to trial after that, man. Normally, you would go to trial after that. When you refuse to sign, like, let's say if you caught a criminal charge or something like that, and you want to, the prosecution is offering you a plea deal or some shit like this, and you say, man, I'm not signing that shit, then you got to go to trial.
Yep.
Normally, that's what would happen. You would go to trial. And on the civil side, it would work the same way.
Yep. But this is how the court's trying to play it. They're trying to consider a negotiation conference some type of they're trying to say that all the totality of all the steps of any civil procedures have already been done.
Say that again. My bad. Say that again, man.
They're trying to claim that everything that the rules require you to do prior to a trial in civil court have already been done by both parties. What they're saying is, I responded to the summons in person to this negotiation conference. By responding, we skip all the civil court rules and requirements up into a trial by just showing up. Because I wasn't required to put an affidavit on the record like you're supposed to do when you get sued. You're supposed to respond within 30 days and put an affidavit on the record. I didn't have to do that when I was summoned to show up to a negotiation hearing. The only thing I was required to do was sign a piece of paper that I refused.
Mm-hmm. You could set aside that. I mean, you could file a motion to set aside that default. I mean, that ain't even really no default judgment, man. That shit ain't.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's void.
That's
like,
what I'm
that
saying.
Shit ain't no.
Yeah, it's void by their own admissions and their own rules. It's void.
That's what it sounds like. It's void to me.
I'm going to apply the civil side, because you know how they always say that child support is civil, correct?
Correct.
Or voluntary. But it's not criminal unless you over there beating your kids and, you know, you're going to jail for assaulting kids and stuff like that, which you should never should go to jail. But my point is, when you don't have a judge putting in an order from a case where they've established, one, venue, personal jurisdiction, and subject matter jurisdiction, and there's a case with a case number, and then the judge puts in an order on what you're supposed to do, this is not the same thing when it happens to family court on a negotiation conference.
These people,
all that skipped.
I don't know what the hell these people doing. They just terrible, man.
It's criminal. It's criminal. When you see how much and how far the people look out for each other, because I'm in multiple other courts too. I got battles on all different fronts, almost in every court in the state. And they don't like me at all. They don't like me at all. They knew who I was when I tried to sue this family court judge for putting in this default order on me. And when I did that, I put, you know, I exploded. I made myself known, but I also made myself known as ignorant on how to handle this crap, too, because
yeah,
federal court was not the way to go.
It's all good. So, it's how you learn, man. You learn by making mistakes. So,
and that's right. And the only thing you got to worry about is don't make the mistakes to the point where you can't fix it. But I'm told you can always go back and fix any type of ruling as long as you motion the court and you ask. You got to at least do that, you know.
So let me ask you this. So when she filed this motion to dismiss, on what grounds was her motion to dismiss based on?
There was no motion to dismiss. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Okay, so she didn't file a motion to dismiss. She filed a motion for default judgment. That's what you're saying?
Nope.
Well, who the fuck gave her a default judgment? Was it sui sponte?
I don't know what sui sponte mean. What's that mean?
It's in Latin for on the court's own volition. In other words, the judge just did it because that's what the judge wanted to do, something like that.
Yes, yes. If that means that's exactly what happened. But this is the thing, though. This is not a case. You got a situation where you have mothers file out applications to DSS, the Child Support Agency, Title 40, whatever the fuck y'all want to call it, they do these little applications. There's ways to get child support by going through the application process. Now, when you go through the application process, the state gives the mothers an attorney that worked for the DSS. And the reason why this usually happens is because the mom usually got food stamps, Medicaid for the kids, something of that matter, to where they're trying to strong arm the moms by feeling guilty by taking state funds and then making them feel like they got to pay it back by their means. And their means is, here go an attorney, you sign here, right here, and the attorney was going to handle it. Problem with that is the moms don't got an affidavit of any facts on the record. They're considering her to be the plaintiff, but where is her facts? What is she accusing you of if this is a lawsuit? How much do you owe her? All those things are kept from the record. And
normally,
they're operating
a petition for support or something like that. They normally require those to be verified by a notary public. They normally, generally speaking, that's what they normally do. And that, in other words, when they do that, it's considered an affidavit, is what I'm trying
exactly.
to say.
Exactly. But that parent, not even that parent, anyone who has an affidavit has to sign and date it correctly, right?
You say anybody who what?
Anybody who has an affidavit on a record in any court has to sign and date it.
Yeah, you got to sign it. Jeez.
And they make you get a notary to show that it was you that signed it.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying with this is how child support operates is not only do they not have the affidavit of record, not only is it not given to you, the defendant, of whatever the claims are, it's not in a lawsuit form the way we usually handle lawsuits.
So you're saying the petition, they don't, are you saying that they don't give you a copy of the petition? Is that what you're saying?
I didn't get a copy of it. And if I did get a copy of it, what I got don't show an affidavit. It don't show any signatures.
Well, you can
contest. It don't show that that's what that is.
File a motion to dismiss. This ain't no, what is this? This is just a piece of paper. This ain't no affidavit. I don't see nothing in here. Ain't no facts in here to support this. So
that's with the educated mind. I will file a motion to dismiss on all these things. I'm talking about after the fact. These are all the facts that's coming to me now.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's no motion to dismiss. There's no motion to default. There's no motion or there's no affidavit. There's no signature. And guess what? The only one speaking on that side is guess who? The attorney.
Yeah, well,
do you get where I'm going with it?
Yeah, they can't say
exactly.
Shit.
Do you get where I'm going with this?
If they don't have personal knowledge, they can't testify to nothing.
Exactly. So everything that they're putting on the record, everything that is said, everything that is done, it's this attorney that's doing this. There's no mother doing this, signing it, dating it, getting this stamped and filing it. There's an attorney that's party to this and instigating all this without the required normal things that we would normally see in a civil case. But all that set aside, a default only applies if you do not respond. And in the rules, it says A through F. And it says in A, if you do not show up, that's a default. If you do not give notice of why you can't show up by a timely date, that's a default. If blah, blah, blah. Nothing that applies to not signing shit. So
yeah,
not
they,
only
they
do they not have a voluntary.
They can't force you to sign nothing.
Exactly.
They
just said if
you
don't show up. So guess what
it's
I did?
Voided, baby,
I showed up. Yeah, and I didn't sign. So tell me where I showed up not signing, do I default some type of civil lawsuit? Where does that happen? Because I want to start suing people like that. That sounds easy.
It don't sound like you defaulted to me. It sounds like just like I just said, like if you were to get offered a plea agreement or a plea deal or something like that from the prosecutor, and you don't want to take the deal, then it would go to trial. That's the same way.
Yeah.
That's the same thing that would happen in a civil case. Like for example, when I went to my settlement conference, if I didn't want to take the amount of money that they were offering me in the settlement conference, then I could have said no, and then that would have been it, and we would have went to trial.
Yep. See, with my situation, it's a little bit different because I dealt with child support with my daughter who turned 18 this year. I ain't seen her since she was born. That's how much it destroyed my life, that first one. But this time around, I decided to look at it like it was, I'm a bull, I'm about to hit you because I already know how y'all roll.
Mm-hmm.
So when I addressed this issue, I said, guess what? You ain't going to default me. I showed up. Yeah, guess what? I showed up. What you want?
If I was you,
huh?
If I were you, not that it's probably gonna make a difference, but I would just to cover myself, I would put in an affidavit stating that what happened on this day, on such and such day, I came in at a settlement conference or whatever you want to call it. I don't know what they call it.
Well, see, that's how the appellate court worked differently, bruh. Like all this normal stuff that I'll be doing with the circuit court or civil and criminal, once you get to the appellate court, they got their own rules. And guess
what?
They're
looking to see if an error has occurred or if a right violation has occurred.
The court clerk had to tell me the other day because what I keep doing is I keep going outside of rules, keep doing stuff like that, filing affidavits, da 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 da. What they do is they kick it back and they be like I said, we got your motion, but right now is the payment. And then after the payment, we're going to go on to the briefs. After the briefs, they had to literally, like, she had to slow it down for me because, look, we understand. She goes, this is how we do it. And the reason.
Why didn't you I'm sorry to cut you off. Why didn't you try to proceed as a pauper to get them to waive the fee?
I did. I motioned for informer pauperis, and informer pauperis was denied. Then I did another motion on their denial claiming all the constitutional rights to access the court. Well, that is correct dealing with criminal charges. You have a right to appeal all criminal charges. This is not criminal. This is civil.
Let me see something.
I want everybody to understand that. When it's applying to civil matters, your right does not apply to when it says access the court because you don't have an order from a judge from a criminal trial that can be looked at by the appellate court for free as a right. When you have a civil issue, you have to pay for that.
Yeah, you do.
Now,
but they'll still waive the fee. Did you fill out an affidavit or you just filed a motion?
I did everything, bro. I did everything but piss them off and say, you know what, we're just not going to listen to your case, even if you do pay. I did everything to about that, I swear. But like I said, this is the thing. When it applies to a civil matter, when you win your case, guess what? You get those fees paid for by who? The other party.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
There's that. And that's what I'm thinking the appellate courts do. They operate a little bit differently, but when I say they have their own rules, bro, they got their own rule. They had the lady to walk
me
through.
They do.
And I was like, oh wow.
They probably call them South Carolina rules of appellate procedure. I think that's what they call them, South Carolina rules of appellate procedure.
Yeah, and it's a real thing.
All courts have their own rules of their appellate rules of procedure. The federal courts and the state courts, all of them do.
Yeah.
Motion and
so
affidavit.
No matter how much I want to tell them all my facts right away, right now, they keep telling me, okay, we'll get there, but first. So it takes stages when you get up to that level, but these lower courts, it's crazy to hear them crying, complain once you get there, because now – They're saying a whole different thing. Oh, he had his chance. Oh, we did it right. But when you really look at their own evidence that they're putting on the record, it's like, oh, y'all some lies. Dog, they are that stupid. They're not smarter than us. They just know how to read is a good quote, because they are stupid. They are actually stupid, because his attorney didn't have to come at me this hard. She didn't have to come at me this hard, but because I told her to basically to shut the fuck up using Trinzy versus Pagliaro and a couple of the ones that I got from you, she did not like that. So when she produced more evidence, that's all going on the record, and they all get to see that shit. So when she produced that shit, that's what I said. I go, look, this case should be dismissed right now because, look, the facts show.
She, what was I going to say? These people, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, man, the argument of that legal name is not me, or whatever you want to call it. I'm not the name. That is a valid argument.
That is a valid,
you know, when you go to court and they ask you, are you John Doe or whatever, and they talking about the caps name, the all capitalized letter name. That's a valid argument.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is. It is. I mean, everything is a valid argument if you do it right.
But the reason they don't want to acknowledge it is because everybody can make that argument. It would be a valid argument, and they should win their case, because that's a corporate – that is a legal fiction, man. But they don't – these people, they just don't play fair. Like, they just don't play fair, man. I don't know what else to say other than the fact that they don't play fair. They're not smarter than you. They just all of them. They just stick together, and so they try to hide this shit so people don't know what the fuck they doing.
I had another judge, a circuit judge, on the appeal from another lower court just on February. It was my appeal for that traffic stop. Well, I had her. She literally said this. I was quoting all the right to travel. Case laws, Pennsylvania. Damn, now I can't think of none of these damn names. Anyway, she basically said, "Well, none of those case laws apply to South Carolina because those are from different states." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Excuse me, ma'am." I said, "Those are Supreme Court justices ruled on those cases. They apply to every state." And she goes, "Not in South Carolina." And I
now those were principles of law in those cases, and principles of law apply everywhere. Like ignorance of the law is no excuse. That applies everywhere. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I quoted Murdaugh versus Pennsylvania. That's what I was quoting on. I said, okay, the state can't convert my right into a privilege and attach that license and a fee. She goes, well, in this state of South Carolina, you don't have a right. It's a privilege. And I go, no, ma'am, that's not what the Supreme Court ruling was. She goes, well, that ruling don't apply here because this is South Carolina. And I said, you got to be kidding me. She goes, no, that's how South Carolina works. And I go, well, how about Article 6, Clause 2? She goes, no, that doesn't apply here either. I go, the Supremacy Clause don't apply in South Carolina? She said, no. I said, bruh. But I had to put it on the record because I appealed her. I took her decision to the higher court. But my whole point is these fools will say some outlandish shit to get you out of their face.
Yeah, they would. Right, the clerks don't really know what they do. The clerks, they don't know law. I wouldn't even waste my time with them like this. Look, I had one clerk tell me, like when I think I filed a demand of nature and delegation of authority one time in a traffic ticket case or something like that. And the clerk was like, what is this? And I was like, ma'am, look, I'm not trying to give you a hard time. And I'm not trying to be an asshole or nothing like that, but just file it. The judge would know what to do. And she filed it, because they don't really know what the hell. They don't know. Man, them folks, they don't be knowing what the hell going on, man. Some of them do, and some of them don't. They just don't be.
Even if they did, they can't give you advice.
No, they
you
can't.
You know what I mean?
I agree, and they shouldn't. They shouldn't be like, we're not going to accept that. Motherfucker, just file this shit. That's
no, you know why you do? You know what you do if they say they don't want to do something, especially filing something? You go downstairs, you go get the sheriff at the door when they do the whole walkthrough and take off your belt. You go get with one of them and say, come upstairs with me, and you have them do it in front of her. If she still refuses, you ask the sheriff to arrest her because she's not doing her job. That's a felony. I guarantee you, I did that. Well, I didn't bring the I had a new court clerk in the federal district court. I was used to this other lady. She usually just let me file my stuff. She was always nice, da-da-da-da. Then this young lady was there all of a sudden. And I usually sign all my stuff last, but my date is put up at the top at my header with my case number. And she's like, there's no signature here. And I'm like, excuse me, ma'am. She's like, I'm not filing this, like all like over the top. And I'm like, what do you mean? My signature is right here. She goes, well, that doesn't count because there's no date. And I go, the date's on the top of every page. And she looked at it. She goes, that's not how they do it. And then the lady that usually dealt with me, she came out. She goes, no, he's right. Just go this. And since then, that lady do not like me. But I was getting ready to be like, you have to, ma'am. I could go get the cops right now and have you arrested if you do not stamp that. And she looked at me like I told her stuff stink. She was like, as if, bruh. I was like, no, ma'am, this is your job. You are a court clerk. You do not argue about what the substance is in these things. You make sure the little key elements are there and you keep it pushing. And she did not like that. And when her boss came out and told her, she's like, no, just stamp it. He's pro se. He's not an attorney, ma'am. I was like, ooh. But yeah, you got to flex on them sometimes. But they're required to stamp. Because what else are you there for? You're not going to give me legal advice. What are you here for?
they'll tell you they can't give you legal advice quick. They'll tell you that real quick.
That's what I'm saying. So if you're not giving me legal advice, what you going to look into my eyes and blink? Because what else are you supposed to do other than put that thing in that thing and let it stamp it, lady?
Yeah, I got you.
I'm just saying. I mean, I have some good court clerks and I have some like some rude, just they know who you are. They just don't like you because you're not the everyday thing. You don't follow the attorney. You're not a bar member. Let's put it like that. Let's keep it one thou out. You're not a bar member.
Oh, boy.
Every state is going through that right now. Bar members are running the state's political seats. And that's why these laws are getting all funky, these administrative laws getting more power than our rights. That's what I'm starting. Our rights got the power of wet toilet paper, bruh. That's what it seemed like.
You know, it's like that because people don't know their rights. Like when I go and look at, I started looking at some of those sovereign citizen videos that Yusuf was talking about. And, you know, I'm on here and I'm just looking. These people, generally speaking, first off, I want to commend all of these people. I don't care if they went to jail for doing that shit, because it takes courage to do that.
Okay.
Because these people, they're the environment that they place you in is intimidating. Like, I've been to court before where I was just so nervous, my heart is pounding. I'm hyperventilating. I'm like this.
Yep.
Like I'm just so nervous. I'm pacing myself and shit. But then once I start talking, you know, I calm down a little, and you know, and I'm good. But you know, going into these courts doing this shit, that shit ain't easy.
And that's part of their only upper hand. Did you know that because that right there, what you just explained, makes like 90% of us citizens bow down and just pay the goddamn fee? I ain't gonna pay that. I ain't about to face that. 90%
of us. Yeah, I know you can do it, man. But that's the reason it's like that is because people are ignorant to the law. They don't know what a person is, man.
I didn't know
what the hell a person was. I didn't know a driver's license was a tax, a marriage license was a tax. I didn't know that these courts were administrative agencies and they filing lawsuits against you in the state corporate capacity, alleging that you allegedly breached public policy. That's what they're doing. Notice I said policy and not law.
Yep.
That's policy.
Criminalizing. Yeah,
I didn't know none of this shit, man, until I started studying. And then I started going to court trying some of this shit out. I remember one day I went to court. It was for a traffic ticket. It was like a courtroom full of people in here. I didn't file no paperwork. I was ready for this motherfucking judge. I had memorized all this shit, Jose. I was ready, Jose. So he just skipped the arraignment and just went straight to trial, which that's a violation of due process, but I ain't say nothing about it. So they over there, the prosecution over there, he's on direct examination of his witness, which is the police officer. He's asking all these discovery questions and so on and so forth like that, and I don't make any objections. So after that's over with, the judge looks at me and he says, sir, this is the part where you can cross-examine the police officer and ask him questions and so on and so forth like that. Now, do you have anything to say? I looked at that damn judge dead in his face, in his eyes, and I said, yes, I have something to say. And I said, I'm here on a special appearance as so adequately distinguished in legalese from a general appearance, and all questions shall be answered in the form of a demur. When he heard me say that, his whole face expression changed like he's seen a fucking ghost. So, now, to keep in mind, now, there's a lot of people in this courtroom. He wasn't expecting me to say this and expecting me to act like this. And I said,
Your Honor. Yeah, they don't want you in the courtroom either.
And I said, Your Honor, I didn't have to stop for this man. I said, as a matter of fact, you know I didn't have to stop for this man. And I pointed at the judge. I said, because I wasn't driving, I was traveling. And driving and traveling mean two completely different things on the public highways. He said, do you have anything else to say? I think I said, I said, Your Honor, the body corporate state of Alabama arbitrarily and erroneously converted my right into a privilege. Now, since they've done that, in Murdoch versus Pennsylvania clearly states to the contrary that no state may convert a secured liberty into a privilege. And if they do, Shuttlesworth versus Birmingham says I can ignore it by engaging in that right with impunity. There was an attorney sitting in that courtroom. He said, man, that's a good argument. And the judge said, hush. He looks at me and he says, do you have anything else to say? I said, yeah, I motioned for a dismissal with prejudice, you know, so on and so forth like that. And before I can finish my sentence, he says, I deny your motion. And before I can get the next sentence of on what grounds out of my mouth, this motherfucker tell me I don't have to tell you why I denied your motion. Now, we in district court. There's a court reporter in here, so he's trying to keep his cool, but he can't really keep his cool. Because all of this shit is going on the record. There's a court reporter in there. And I didn't pay that fine to this day. He never issued a warrant either.
So check this out, because I'm going through another one that's like that, and in the state of South Carolina, I did not know this, but this traffic ticket is over 3 years old. And after I made my little written motions to the court, I thought they was going to like back off and act like they was going to forget about it and stay quiet, right? Well, recently they tried to move forward, found me guilty on some bench trial without me, of course. But I moved that case up to the higher court on the appeal. Well, anyway, what I found out in this state of South Carolina is one of the only states that does not have a Speedy Trial Right Act, which means, this is crazy, which means they can have a case on you and they don't have to move forward for nothing until you put a motion in for your speedy trial right.
Yeah, all of them do that. Because I was going to say, it doesn't matter if there's an act for it or not. As long as you motion for, like, the acts are, they are inferior to the Constitution. So it's irrelevant. You can bring motions. You can bring a due process violation motion even without a rule if they violate due process. As long as there's a case law to support it, you know, some shit like that. You don't need...
This is where the South is different from the West Coast. In the West Coast, it's already, I know at least in the state of Washington, and I believe in California, they got 60 days. There ain't no question. 60 days take you to trial. If they don't take you to trial 60 days, guess what? Now you put a motion to dismiss for a speedy trial. Speedy trial right. Every state got a speedy trial right at, except South Carolina.
Okay. So they must get
It must be judged in the common law then.
But look, Jose, I got more people on the line, man. I don't want to.
Yes,
I hate to cut you off. I hate to cut you off like that.
No, you do what you gotta do, but it's good talking to you.
Yeah, same to you, man.
And do more on that ad valorem tax and the fee simple absolute stuff.
Okay. All right, I got you. Appreciate it, man.
All right, bro. Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right, caller 1233. You on the line. What's going on?
What up, big dog?
What's good, man? How you doing?
Good. I have a question regarding past convictions. If you are aware of a way to basically go back and get those, like, thrown out or overturned or vacate the judgment or whatever.
Is it a
how would I know?
Did they have jurisdiction to enter the judgment?
Assuming I gave them the jurisdiction, you know, by not knowing anything, because so the three that I'm talking about is, the first one was a false information charge, the second one was a DUI, and the third one is obstructing government operations, all misdemeanors.
I would say if they didn't have any evidence to convict you, I would say that that's a due process violation. Unless you pleaded guilty to it, then I don't think you could reverse, you know, in other words, vacate the judgment if you pled guilty to it, unless you pled guilty under duress or some shit like that. But go ahead and if you don't mind, you can just go ahead and try to give me some facts to it. You know, the facts of your case without telling me too much of your personal information, and I'll see if I can answer your question for you.
Okay. Let me see. Well, then, based upon what you said so far, it seems like with the DUI one, I probably can't do anything with, because I basically told them, like, I just admitted to it. I was just like, yeah, I had some drinks, blah, blah. But for the other two... So for the false information one, that one was stupid. I had gotten in a car accident. The lady ran the stop sign, hit me, and, you know, cop cited her. Well, didn't even cite her, but basically put her at fault. And, everything was going cool until the cop came to talk to me and was like, well, it seems like there's an issue because she's saying you're not the driver. And I was like, well, I mean, I'm the driver, so I don't know what to really tell you. And the cop was just like, well, if you want to continue to say, well, at first she offered me, she was like, if you just say that you weren't the driver, nothing's going to happen. You know, you both go home. But if you continue to say that you're the driver, then I'm going to charge you with the false information charge because I believe that this lady has no reason to lie. She's an older lady. And I was just like, well, I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
He not no witness. It don't matter what. I mean, he's allowed to use, you know, his judgment, but that don't make him right. When? How long ago
right,
was
it? Back in 2016.
2016, damn, this you even waited too long. Well, I ain't gonna say you waited too long because if they never had jurisdiction, or if they violated due process, you know, something like that, or they didn't have the facts to support the conviction, you should be able to overturn it unless you pled guilty to it or something like that. But I'm sorry for cutting you off. Go ahead and finish your story.
So basically, yeah, the female officer just gave me a false information charge, and I was just like, well, she cited me for that, and I was just like, I was like, how are you even going to give me that? I was like, you know, if anything, she's probably just trying to deter the blame, because not only was she at fault for accident, but she doesn't even have, like, she doesn't have a driver's license, no insurance, and she's in a rental vehicle. Like, she has all these other things going on. I was like, you know, I don't know. And she's an old lady, probably just out of her head. She ran the stop sign to begin with. I don't know why she's saying I wasn't the driver, but so then I just tried to basically
like just. She probably was suffering from some type of memory loss or something, because you said she was old or something like that. He's just slow. But ain't no way in hell.
I mean, in my opinion, I just kind of felt that the officer was didn't really like, I don't want to say it's because of like my skin color, but I kind of just felt like it was that way. Because it was over in Colorado Springs, and it just seemed like, you know, a white person helping out another white person in that scenario. That's just the way that, like, her demeanor and everything kind of came off. But, yeah. So, I mean, so I'm from over here in Arizona. I was just traveling over there. But anyways, I tried to basically represent myself not knowing anything and basically just, you know, came in like, nah, like, I was the driver. And that's really it. And then that day, the officer came in and the old lady came in, and then her granddaughter, she was probably like maybe 10 years old or something like that. And then they all just stood up and said that I wasn't the driver. And so the judge was just like, well, because it's 3-1, giving this basically pleading that, you know, you were not the driver, it just, you know, it seems like you're guilty. So this is
I see what you're saying. So they charge you with false reporting or false information. What did they charge you with?
Yeah, providing false information.
Colorado. I was going to ask you what statute that was. But I was going to read you the elements that they needed to have to convict you. But who were these so-called witnesses?
I don't remember the exact statute.
Okay.
It was basically just the old lady that was driving and her granddaughter that was in the passenger seat. And then the police officer just saying, basically going up there to say that, like, yeah, I believe he was the driver. I mean,
yeah,
I believe he wasn't the driver.
Yeah, well, he can't testify. So his testimony, it was inadmissible. He's not a witness. Only witnesses who have firsthand personal knowledge can testify. If they don't see it, if they don't have firsthand personal knowledge, then everything they say is hearsay. I don't give a damn who it is. Only witnesses can testify. And how old was this granddaughter of hers? She probably was a minor or something. So whatever she was saying probably wasn't inadmissible. But I don't really know. But what was the – I think you said there were three of them. Give me the last one.
Including the officer. So basically, not including the officer, it was just those two.
No, I was saying –
the old lady and the granddaughter.
You had three charges or something like that? Then you say you had three charges that you
– But those were in separate cases. They're all separate. So that false information was one incident. The DUI was a second incident. And then the obstructing government operations was another incident. And in that scenario, the obstructing government operation, basically it was a Halloween party. The police responded to a fight out in the middle of the street. And since we were the only house in the neighborhood that was having like a, you know, a party, they just came asking, you know, knocking on our door, asking if we had anything to do with it. And they started like putting my cousins in handcuffs because I think like one of them touched the officer or something like that, like grabbed his wrist. And then he tried coming back up to just walk into the house, but I was just like standing in front of the door and he was just like, move. I'm going to go inside. And I was like, well, did you even get permission to come in? Like, I'm pretty sure none of us want you to just walk in here. And then he just started pushing me. He was like, move. And then to catch my balance, you know, I throw my hands up against the wall because it's kind of like a hallway. You know, the entrance is just like a small hallway.
Mm-hmm.
Small hallway. So to catch my balance, naturally, you know, you're just going to put your hands up to stabilize yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he just pushes me back even harder. And after that, like, his buddies started coming in to just, like, grab me and put me in handcuffs. And at first, like, also my family was coming around, too. And at one point, you know, somebody grabbed my wrist. And I didn't know who it was. Thought maybe it was, like, the family or something. You know, just trying to calm me down. But without even looking, naturally, you know, I just grabbed the wrist and took it off me. And that was it. But so based upon that, the officer was just, you know, threatening. He's like, well, I could charge you for assaulting a police officer, but what I'll do for you is I'm just going to cite you for obstructing government operation since you were preventing me from entering the home. And
yeah, that's that's not obstructing government operations. Whose house was it?
It was my cousin's house.
Your cousin's house. I still wouldn't say that that's disruption government operation. Because you can't just walk in no damn body house. He actually assaulted you. Anytime he touched you, that's what he did. He actually assaulted and battered you. Well, I would say battery, not assault. But anytime they touch you unlawfully, without your permission, in a rude, aggressive manner, I don't care I don't care if they don't punch you. Like when he pushed you, that's battery, because he had no lawful purpose for doing that. That's battery. So, how long ago was that?
That one, I believe, was. If it wasn't October 2019, it was October 2020. Maybe pretty sure it's 2019.
I mean, you can fight it if you want. Me personally, I wouldn't. I would just accept it for right now. But from now on forward, I wouldn't take anything else from these people. I would, generally speaking, just passively do what they say because I don't want you to get hurt or anything like that. Because these people, they think that their word is the law. They think they can do whatever the hell they want to do. And they can't do that. So I don't want you to get hurt or anything like that. But just passively, tell them that you don't comply, and so on and so forth. Shit like that, just little shit like that.
Right. Yeah. I don't really care. You know that it's on my rap sheet. It's just now at this point I care in the sense of like because I've learned about you know, the true nature of, like, the courts and their jurisdictions
mm-hmm.
and the different
mm-hmm.
things that they've been doing. And I found it as an opportunity to just, like, oh, maybe there might be an opportunity where I can get this removed off of my record. And that just goes for the care of, like, because I'm going to go into the military, I'd rather it just be able to be like, oh, well, see, like, yeah, I got this stuff removed because it was not supposed to be there, so.
Yeah, well, another way to do that, I mean, you can just expunge that, because all those are misdemeanors. I'm 100% sure that you can expunge those misdemeanors. You would have to do it in an administrative proceeding, though, meaning you would have to file a petition with a local court, you know, probably a circuit court or a district court, something like that, and probably pay a filing fee, you know, so on and so forth like that. But, yeah, you can get that shit expunged off of your record.
Right, right.
That's what I'm getting ready to do because, like I said earlier, I didn't always know what I was doing. I've lost a lot of cases. So this stuff is trial and error. But, like, now I haven't – it's been a while since I lost the case now. But then again, it's been a while since I've been to court. You know, I just beat 3 traffic tickets a few months ago. But anyway, all of the previous, you know, charges that I was convicted of, I'm doing community service on those right now because I'm not giving the ass a dime now because I know, I know that I was innocent of pretty much every damn thing that they charged me with. But I don't feel like fighting it anymore. So what I was going to do was I'm going to just finish my community service. So if I go to community service maybe once a week or something like that. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to file a petition for expungement in the circuit court. And I'm just going to get all that shit expunged off of the record. And then I'm just going to start over clean from there. That's what I'm going to do. I would advise you to do that if that's something that you would like off of your record. If not, then it's just misdemeanors. It's not really that serious. But just to let y'all know, anytime that they violate due process, they lose jurisdiction to prosecute the case. They can't convict you without facts unless you plead guilty to it or something like that. Someone says, is there
right,
a way
right.
your – I'll answer that question later. But, yeah. So, I mean, that's just what I would recommend. I would recommend you also just read the rules of procedure for the state, whether it be wherever the state that you're in, you read the civil rules of procedure and the criminal rules of procedure and read cases regarding the particular statutes that they're alleging people violate or something like that. Because when you read those cases, they're going to tell you what your rights are. That's how, like, based on what you just told me when you said that police officer pushed you or whatever, I know off the top of my head that that's battery because he had no lawful purpose for doing that. If he had a lawful purpose for doing that, he would have taken you to jail.
Right.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to ask, at the end of the day, like, even if you were to basically agree to whatever, let's just say they, you know, they give you a guilty verdict and they're like, oh, you pay this fine or the community service or whatever. So you sign to agree to that. Essentially, that's just like a contract, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And also you are admitting all of the elements of the offense that they're charging you with, even if they don't have it, you're just admitting that you did it.
Right, right. So I'm just like kind of learning too about like the whole contract space and like, you know, there's certain elements of a contract that need to be present in order for it to be valid. Otherwise, they make it invalid. So do you think that that's like a point that you could come in to, hey man, this is a voidable contract because maybe there was no meeting of the minds or, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can void a contract for fraud. A marriage is a contract. So let's say if you get married to a woman and she doesn't disclose to you that she can't have children, or that she doesn't, you know, she doesn't want to have sex or whatever, you can nullify marriage for that. You can nullify that marriage contract for that. That's fraud. Because I'm quite sure if she would have told you that, you know, that she didn't want kids or that she wasn't going to have sex with you, that you probably wouldn't have entered into a marriage contract with her. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
27.
Okay, you're young. Just keep reading, man. That's all you got to do. Just keep reading. Keep reading, keep reading, keep reading. It's not hard. I promise you it's not hard. This stuff is easy, man. And you can do this stuff. You can do it. I know what the definition, I know when I'm lawfully arrested based off what happens the night at the scene. I know if I'm lawfully detained based off what happens on the night that I'm detained, based off the facts of the case. I know what they can do and I know what they can't do.
Right,
because
right.
I mean,
and that just also plays into whether the officer was acting reasonable or not.
Exactly. Well, the reasonable means lawful. Unreasonable means unlawful in reference to the Fourth Amendment. That's all it means.
Right, right.
Unlawful means it can never be made legal. Lawful means it can be made legal. Even if it's lawful and it hasn't been made legal, it's still lawful for you to do. Meaning you don't need permission. You don't need their authorization for you to do it because it's lawful.
I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, that's all it means. If it's unlawful, it can never, ever, ever be made legal. If it's lawful, it can be made legal. That's all it means, man.
Right, right. All right, man. Thank you for your time, man. Thank you for answering my questions.
No problem. Good luck to you, man. Thank you for calling.
Nice. Right.
Okay, let's see. Okay, I have about 2 minutes left on Blog Talk Radio, so I wouldn't advise anybody to call in. Sorry about that, y'all. I did 2 hours. I'll stay a little longer tonight doing live Q&A, but, I mean, I won't be able to take any phone calls. Y'all can just post your questions in the chat, and we can just do it like that if y'all want to. Uriah, you said, is there a way to delete your DMV record? I don't know, Uriah. I've never really even looked into it. It probably is. I really don't know. Because like I said, I've never really looked into it. But to give you a reasonable answer based on just common sense, I kind of think it is, to be honest with you, but not certain. Where are you? What state, Uriah? What state? And I might be able to just look it up and see. You probably can, though. So we got about 90 seconds left. Well, 60 seconds left. Are any of those videos helping y'all? Out of all of my videos that y'all have seen, that y'all have watched, what video, what types of videos that y'all want me to make more of? And I guess give you some more commentary on it. Let's see, Wham Bam 600, how do I start the secure party process? I don't really study the secure party process, Wham Bam. I want to, but it's on my list. I've studied it a little. It is on my list. All right, let me go ahead and end the, give me 1 second. I'm going to go ahead and end the radio show on Blog Talk Radio.